sana gitu.
Welcome to the Morning Magazine on KGNU Community Radio. It's July 14th of 2023. I'm your host, Jack Armstrong. Up first on today's show, we have reporters at Tube to Work Day. We'll hear from them live at Even Fine Park. After that, we hear about a summer skate camp in Telluride. And then it's .org, our weekly look at local nonprofits. After that, it's Connections with Fiona Foster. This morning, we have guest Bree Davies. You probably know her from Denver's CityCast, which we play on Mondays. They will talk about Mayor Michael Hancock's legacy and the future of Denver. Then at 9:30, it's the Morning Sound Alternative with Meredith Carson. That's still all coming up, but first, the headlines with KGNU's Ryan Bigham.
Another lawsuit stemming from the Marshall Mesa fire has been filed against Xcel Energy. In this latest filing, almost 250 plaintiffs are seeking compensation for damages caused when one of the public utility's power lines sparked on dry grass, contributing to the devastating Marshall fire. Residents, property owners, and businesses came together Monday to file the suit in Boulder County's district court. The Boulder County Sheriff and District Attorney revealed the findings of a nearly two-year investigation last month into the cause of the blaze, which destroyed over 1,000 homes and caused over $2 billion in property damage. Investigators said last month that a fire caused by sparks from, quote, unmoored Xcel power lines was the second of two ignition points that touched off the December 30, 2021 Marshall fire. The first was a fire from embers from a trash can on property owned by the 12 Tribes Cult, but this latest lawsuit did not name the group as defendants. In their response, Xcel said, quote, "We strongly disagree with any suggestion that Xcel Energy's power lines caused the second ignition. We believe the second fire burned into an area already burned by the fire from the first ignition and did not cause damage to any homes or businesses." The Colorado sheriff in charge of the officer who shot and killed Christian Glass is retiring next month. In June, Clear Creek County's Board of Commissioners alleged that Clear Creek County Sheriff Rick Albert's failure to properly train and discipline officers led to the death of 22-year-old Christian Glass. Glass was fatally shot by police in June of 2022 after calling 911 for roadside assistance. A grand jury found that the officers were not in danger and that they escalated the interaction unnecessarily. In a Facebook post Wednesday, Albers expressed, quote, "mixed emotions about leaving office after 43 years. Glass's parents received a $19 million settlement in May for their son's death, the largest for a police killing in Colorado. According to the Colorado Sun, the Glass family called for Albers' resignation and asked during their settlement negotiations that the office develop crisis intervention training. Colorado Attorney General Phil Weiser announced a settlement with Walmart on Thursday related to claims over pricing discrepancies. The state of Colorado collaborated with Nevada's Attorney General Aaron Ford to reach this settlement, which will see $3 million invested into local food funds and pantries. Colorado and Nevada first opened this case during 2022, during which Walmart repeatedly failed price inspections from Agriculture Department officials. Quote, "All retailers have a duty to ensure the price their customers pay at the register is the same one they see on shelves," Weiser said in a press release. Walmart claims they will be taking company-wide action to prevent pricing failures in the future, including pricing accuracy inspections that they will report quarterly to the state. The Boulder County Housing Authority announced Wednesday that its Casa de la Esperanza neighborhood is accepting applications from eligible farm workers for 3- and 4-bedroom rental homes. The Longmont neighborhood has been offering affordable housing to farm workers since the 1990s. Casa de la Esperanza has an after-school STEM learning center, and its program also offers families 2 food baskets per month, plus wellness and nutrition workshops. Applications are available on the Boulder County website. Taylor Swift's concerts in Denver could raise Colorado's GDP by $140 million for 2 evening performances. That's according to the Common Sense Institute, a think tank focused on Colorado's economy. The researchers say recent polling of concertgoers finds each concertgoer will spend around $1,300 in show-related expenses. This includes not just tickets for what may be the highest-grossing music tour in history, but also travel, lodging, food, and merchandise. The Taylor Swift tour will bring in a potential $4.6 billion in total consumer spending. While the Institute says some of the money spent on Swift could have been spent elsewhere in Denver, they're expecting the final numbers after the singer's stop in the Mile High City to be record-breaking. Animal protection authorities are reminding people not to leave their pets inside of cars in this hot summer weather. Denver Animal Protection says it's received over 300 calls about dogs left inside vehicles during extreme temperatures this year, and almost 400 calls about animals unsheltered in dangerous temperatures. With summer temperatures rising, officials are warning dog owners that temperatures inside vehicles can reach 120 degrees Fahrenheit in minutes, leading to heat stroke and death. Officials say that under Colorado's Good Samaritan law, people who discover an animal or person suffering in a hot car can break into the vehicle and rescue them. Pet owners who leave an animal in an overheated car can be charged with animal cruelty, fined up to $999, and serve 300 days in jail. Denver Animal Protection says the safest place for animals during hot weather is at home. CU Boulder scientists are enjoying a once-in-a-lifetime event at a garden outside a campus greenhouse. Two non-native agave plants, relatives of asparagus, are finally blooming, 30 years after they were planted by former linguistics professor and horticulturalist Alan Taylor. Taylor passed away in late 2022, and CU staff say the impressive 14-foot yellow blooms are a fitting tribute to his legacy of garden plant introductions. While the blooms mean the plants have reached the end of their lives, CU botanists say their seeds will be saved to grow more agaves at the university. And finally, the weather. In Boulder, we'll see a slightly cooler day than yesterday, with a high of 84 and a low of 58, with a small chance for thunderstorms after 2 p.m. In Denver, also slightly cooler, with a high of 86 and a low of 61, with a similar chance of thunderstorms. In Fort Collins, a high of 86 and also a low of 58. With KGNU, I'm Ryan Bigham.
Hundreds of Boulderites tubed down Boulder Creek this morning for the 14th annual Tube to Work Day. Some dressed in business suits, others in hot dog costumes, gathered at Eben G. Fine Park with tubes under their arms just after 7 a.m. This comes days after police pulled another woman out of Boulder Creek Wednesday. We have KGNU reporters Jackie Sedley, Jimmy Searfoss, and Kira Zizzo talking to the event's unfazed tubers this morning. How are you guys doing? Can you hear us?
We can hear you just loud and clear.
Oh, fantastic. Jimmy, you were the first one on the scene. What does it look like all around you at this event?
Well, right now they're actually getting ready to go in. They're having kind of like an Independence Day-like speech to kind of prepare them to go into the water here. There is packed people up in this park. There's people in suits. There's people in Barbie attire. It's kind of a crazy scene down here.
Now, Jimmy, I heard you guys have been talking to some event goers on the scene. What do they have to say about the event? Are any of them with you?
Yeah, I'm actually here with two people. What were y'all names?
My name is Chris.
My name's Kangmin Kim.
And this is their first year or second year?
Second year
doing it. What brought y'all out here this year doing it another time?
So we all work together at Cordon, and this is kind of like a work-sponsored event for us. So it's just a good excuse to not go to work for a little bit and have fun going down a river, I suppose.
What are kind of the vibes like for you guys this year and last year?
This year, I think we are quite excited because of high water, and I think that's a more exciting moment for all of us. Some of us kind of flipped right away last year, and this year you might see more carnage, so it'll be fun.
So you said you're going to work, and what I'm seeing is not traditional work attire. You're in, tell me about you, what you're wearing right now.
I'm wearing a onesie, full cow suit. I'm going to have a helmet on and, you know, hood on, which with the cow face. So that's what I'm wearing.
So are the helmets required? Is that something that's required? What's required for you to go down this river today?
So in order to go down the river at this event, you have to have closed-toed shoes, a life jacket, and a helmet. And really, it's super important because, like, last year I hit my head three or four different times, and without the helmet, that would have been bad. So definitely a requirement, definitely a good choice.
Gotcha. Jack, it's just kind of crazy event down here. They're getting ready to get started here in just a few minutes. For y'all, What kind of tubes are y'all on today? You're seeing a lot of different kinds of tubes. What was kind of the craziest one you've seen?
There's a T-Rex over there. I think they're actually doing the awards right now. Maybe like a squid. There's a flamingo. Last year they had this really big unicorn. But yeah, we're all just using like simple rented ones because we're not special.
But the HR team did it for us. So yeah. Thank you, HR team.
Yeah. I will say I did also see a Barbie tube that had a Barbie dream car on top of it. I don't know if that's sponsored by the new movie coming out, but it's been kind of a hectic event down here as they get ready to go on in.
Hey, Jimmy, where are they working? Their HR department paid for them to come to this event. Where are they working?
Where y'all work?
We work in Cordon Pharma. We're on 55th Street. We're not going down to 55th Street, but that's where we work.
What's that commute like? Are you going off the river?
We park at work. We bike to Arapahoe and 28, and then we walk up here to back down, bike back to work. So it's nice because you kind of dry off on the bike ride back to work.
You kind of got it like a triathlon to go
today, you know, three sports day.
It is Boulder. Yeah. It's Boulder, Colorado. And we're all about, you know, exercise, being outside. What's the turnout like this year compared to last year?
It does seem to be probably about half as many people looking back. Because last year it was full all the way from where they're presenting to the ambulance cars in the back. So probably about half the people. I don't know if that's because of the high water or not, but.
Hey, Jimmy.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, please. No worries. We just wanted to get a little bit of input from Jackie. Jackie is our new climate and environment reporter for KGNU and Report for America. And Jackie, we've been hearing a lot of news that about the creek, and it hasn't all been good. Do you think you could tell us just a little bit more with all of this event going on?
Yes, absolutely. So creek levels have been very high lately, leading to some recent unfortunate fatalities and some warnings about going into the creek. I'm here with Brooke Benson, and this is not her first tubing rodeo. Brooke, I wanted to ask you, having been here before, is there any air of anxiety or any conversations happening around the creek levels?
Oh, yeah. I am very scared that I'm going to die today. We were walking up and the rapids looked higher than last year. There are definitely fewer people because I think I've heard people are scared to do it this year. So
do you think that the number of people here being lower can be attributed to the creek levels?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that there are Class 3 rapids. So I think some people are very scared to do it this year.
Are you feeling were you doubting coming today because of that at all?
I mean, no. We're going to fall in. It's going to be fine, but we're going to fall in more than last year.
Well, I'm glad you have your safety gear. Happy to see that for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to pass. Yes.
What are their safety precautions, Jackie? We're curious. What are they taking to save themselves from the Class 3 rapid?
It's a lot of helmets, a lot of life jackets, clothing that varies in heaviness depending on being wet, but it seems like there's a lot of safety personnel on site in case somebody does need urgent assistance.
All right. Yeah. Now we're going to get right back into our next piece, but thank you guys so much for joining us because that's all the time we have. That's been Jimmy, Kira, and Jackie. Stay dry out there, guys.
We will. Thank you, Jack.
All right. Telluride Skate Camp teaches lessons in confidence, grit, and courage. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, KOTO's Grace Richards dropped into Town Park to see a skate session in action.
It's 9 a.m. on a Friday, and the Telluride Skate Park is a beautiful kind of chaos. Everywhere you look, kids careen over the dips and curves of the rolling gray sea of cement, caught in an ephemeral rush of momentum and balance. They wear outrageously colorful knee pads and patterned wrist guards, cheetah print leggings. There's even a fuchsia unicorn horn helmet in the distance. You can hear the squeak of their trucks underfoot, an Outkast song playing on distant speakers, and coaches encouraging kids to be brave, to try again when they fall down.
Keep doing that, right? Repetition, what's gonna put it in your muscles? Aubrey, nice line. You okay? Are you okay? Okay, then get out of the bowl.
This is Telluride Skate Camp, a 16 years running program for people of all ages to learn the physics-defying art of skateboarding. Coach and owner of the Drop Board Shop, Craig Wasserman, stands in the middle of the fray, guiding a wobbly-kneed child into her center of gravity on the board.
My name is Craig Wasserman. I've been skateboarding pretty much my whole life.
Wasserman, a retired art teacher, has been running the program since 2007.
A bunch of kids that I started coaching and teaching back in 2007 and, 2008, 2009, they're now my coaches.
Skateboarding has long been a male-dominated sport.
But I think that's only because a lot of little girls haven't had role models that show them they can do it too.
But Wasserman says he sees that changing.
With skateboarding in the Olympics, with Sky Brown, with all these young girls going for it, now they're like, oh, I can do that too.
There is no shortage of little girls shredding the dips and hills of the skate park.
If you count right now, I think there's more girls at camp than there are boys. And that's stepping up the level of skating, and it's also giving girls more confidence to walk tall in the world too.
Two boys crash into each other in a tangle of arms and legs.
You guys all right?
Yep. It takes them only a second before they dust off and run after their boards, which have shot in opposite directions. No doubt about it, skateboarding is hard. It takes coordination, consistent practice, and a willingness to fall a lot. A young girl in a purple helmet named Shelby tells me she's been skating for a while.
Like 8 years.
She's taken her share of tumbles.
One time I was doing a trick, the other time I was skateboarding in the rain and I slipped out and I fell on my hip.
Falls happen, injuries happen, it's part of the sport.
It's different than football, it's different than softball or soccer or other sports kids play, where we're just doing this for fun, we're kind of all on the same team, we're not trying to win or even be the best, we're just trying to have a really good time down here and share in the love of this kind of freedom that skateboarding offers.
Wasserman says that skating cultivates the soft skills he remembers trying to teach kids in the classroom.
Respect and patience and perseverance and dedication and focus and all these wonderful life skills. And skateboarding is so hard that it just teaches those things. So if a kid gets hooked and they start skating and they push themselves to get better, they're going to learn all those awesome life skills. And the biggest one that they can learn is dealing with fear.
For children, fear often feels bigger than they are.
When you get scared, you can either stop what you're doing and not try it, or you can be brave and try it anyways and face your fear. And that's what we teach kids, 5 years old all the way up through adults. We teach them to face their fears, and then they can go and use that outside the skating rink.
Skating gives these small children the confidence, scrappiness, and self-esteem to hit that steep drop, shift their weight into a kick turn, or shred the bowl. They learn to look fear dead in the face.
Public speaking, foreign language, math class, dancing in front of other, who cares? Whatever it is, they know how to deal with their fear, and they can feel confident and walk tall outside the skate park too.
I am KOTO reporter Grace Richards.
You're listening to KGNU. I'm your host, Jack Armstrong. Up next is .org.
Time now for .org, spotlighting the work of local nonprofits and co-ops.
This is Stacey Johnson with KGNU.org. Joining me today is Elise Carver, Executive Director of Hope Lives. Elise, can you explain to listeners what Hope Lives is about?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Thank you for the opportunity. What we do is our whole mission is just to try to make our Northern Colorado neighbors in breast cancer treatment, just to try to improve their quality of life when they're going through treatment and to try to mitigate some of the terrible side effects from treatment. And so we work with various providers in the Northern Colorado region. We serve both Larimer and Weld counties, and we offer a various portfolio of different services for our clients. Everything from acupuncture, it's probably our most popular service because it can potentially help a lot of different things like neuropathy and sleep and pain and anxiety, and to massage and lymphedema massage and counseling and nutrition and wigs and house cleaning and mastectomy supplies and just a whole slew of things. And so we give our clients vouchers when they come onto our program, and then we don't dictate how they use them. We just say, here's a list of other the vetted out providers, and you choose what you think might make you feel better when you're going through this journey. And so really where our money goes to with our program is to pay the providers who take the coupons so that the clients don't have to pay for anything. And we really hope it just tries to, you know, make this process a little bit easier for them and their families.
In a typical year, how many breast cancer patients does Hope Lives help out?
Yeah, well, it's funny because I came on right when the pandemic happened, so I don't know what typical or normal means. But I will say we were just looking at our numbers from last year, and I believe we were about 125-ish women that we helped last year. I say women, we certainly would welcome men, and men do get breast cancer as well. But currently all of our clients are women.
If listeners want to contribute their time or money to Hope Lives, how should they reach out?
Well, there's many different ways. You can go to our website, which is hopelives.org. There is a donate button. You can always reach out to me. As you mentioned, I'm the executive director. And so you can reach out me at Elise, that's E-L-I-S-E, at hopelives.org. One of the things as nonprofits, we say that we welcome your time, talent, or treasure. We're a very small nonprofit, and so we can always use the help in many different regards, and whether it be a donation or maybe possibly being a provider, or you just want to get more information about us because you have a friend or family that might be going through this. I'm always happy to talk to anybody further.
Are there any events coming up that Hope Lives is hosting?
Yeah, we're going to do an online Valentine's auction. We did that a couple of years ago. We're going to run it from Monday, January 30th to Monday, February 6th. And it's just a fun way to be able to support us when it's typically a slow time of year for us. The website will be Hearts for Hope, and it's the number 4. So it's heartsforhope.givesmart.com will be the link to that. But you can also call me or reach out. There is also a spot on our website to get more information.
Before we end, is there anything you would like to touch upon that hasn't already been covered?
I just would like to say that if any of this is compelling to any of your listeners, sometimes one of the common things I get is that folks feel like, well, whatever they have to offer isn't enough. For example, someone wants to donate $25 or volunteer for one event. All of that matters, especially to small nonprofits. It all matters. You know, we're in the process of helping others, and I know probably a lot of your listeners are as well. And there's a spot for everyone, I believe, that's truly interested in our mission. You know, our numbers have more than doubled in the last year and a half. And the speculation is because people missed mammograms and screenings, of course, with additional fallout from the pandemic. And so it just all matters, you know, to meet that much more need. And then just this whole community that makes our organization run. So I appreciate the additional exposure and letting me talk about our wonderful organization.
Well, Elise Carver, thank you for your time today and sharing information about Hope Lives to listeners. So signing off, this is Stacey Johnson with KGNU.org.
You've been listening to KGNUs.org. For more information on this organization or to listen to other episodes, please go to news.kgnu.org.
That's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. Thanks to Alexis Kenyons, Jimmy Searfoss, Kira Zizzo, Jackie Sedley, Ryan Bigham, Stacey Johnson for their work on today's show. Up next, it's Connections, but first we'll hear the headlines from the BBC.